Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Get out there and actually, you know, see some pitching, start to look towards this weekend. Games will be here before we know it. Mm-hmm. But is it nice to kind of check off another one of those boxes?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, everything in due time. And I think I really just want to savor every moment this year and not try to get ahead of myself. You know, last year I was thinking about the All-Star game in April and, you know, things like that just kind of get me out of my focus level. And, you know, so now, day one, just take it day by day and station by station. And, you know, really, I think that's the best way to approach this game is to, take it one pitch at a time.
How do you learn to do that? I think any of us, if you've got like a vacation you're looking forward to or the holidays coming up, it's easy to look back and say, I remember as a little kid being like, oh my God, Christmas is over and we have to wait another year for
right.
that. How do you try to teach yourself to enjoy every moment, whether it's time on a flight, time at dinner, sixth inning of a game on a Tuesday, batting practice? How do you teach yourself to do that?
I think it comes with experience, but definitely just understanding your own ability and confidence in yourself, I think, will allow you to not, you know, be fretting or worrying about, you know, oh, that game tomorrow we got Castillo pitching from the Reds or so-and-so or, you know, something like that. It's just like, well, where am I at now? Being where your feet are and trying to make, you know, days last forever. I know it sounds cliche, but, you know, I think that's true mindfulness and presence, being here. And so that's just going to be one of my main focuses this year, is just really, you know, not seeing things as good or bad, but learning or, you know, just things like that. You know, just trying to really enjoy every pitch. And you know, that's, might be exhausting, but, you know, I think that's the highest level of performance, peak performance is that.
You had a lot of pitches to enjoy last year. You played all but three games. Do you know off the top of your head which three games you had the day off?
I think there was one in Miami randomly. I can't remember a couple others maybe that I had gotten ready to go in, but the situation, the Arizona game after the
19 innings,
or 19 was it,
and right after the All-Star break,
yeah,
where you were an All-Star.
Mm-hmm. Okay, those are the three. You looked it up. Nice.
I mean there's only three.
I thought physically I was fine. Those 3 days is about right for what I needed rest wise and, you know, mentally I think I just wore myself down at times, and, you know, that's just all part of the learning process. That was my first full 162, you know. A year before that, I got hurt and missed 40-something games. The year before that, and got called up till May. So, you know, it truly was a learning experience last year for me, going from start to finish.
What's the benefit of playing every day, you and Colton, up the middle? And what's the potential of this team, this infield, defensively, as good as you guys were last year? Do you feel like you're maybe just scratching the surface?
Yeah, I mean, our potential is to be the best in the big leagues.
A lot of Gold Glove finalists.
A lot of Gold Glove finalists last year. I mean, you know, that was one of our focuses. We really had an intention about how we played defense and our preparation. Our scouting reports were great. I think we shifted really well, made plays. I mean, just the aptitude that we have to try to get better, I think, is what drives us. And definitely the communication and consistency, too, the way Colton, Goldie, and I really played almost every game all last year, just, you know, developing that kind of comfortability.
Are you surprised at the way you've been able to adapt, not just to playing every day in the big leagues, but it's such maybe the most demanding position in the infield? What has that been like, and has there been a learning curve at all? Has there been anything, like you said earlier, learning to process everything that you've had to learn the hard way, Paul?
Mm-hmm. Definitely, I changed my attitude when I became a shortstop again. I used to be like, oh, I gotta go play defense now, like go to third base and wait for a ball. But now it's just like, all right, now I'm excited to go take ground balls. I'm excited to practice. I'm excited to make plays in the game. I think just my whole attitude changed about playing shortstop. And that kind of drives me to, just want to be out there and know that when I'm out there, we're a better team. And something Jim Edmonds said, and he said, you know, you guys are better when you're out there. Like, you need to find a way to be able to play that many games. And, you know, I took that to heart last year and really understood what it meant in real time about preparing and recovering. And so that's been my main focus is, you know, when I'm not at the field, I'm, you know, making sure I'm recovering so that when I do go to the field again, I'll be ready to play.
You see guys like Edmonds and Ozzy still coming out and here because they want to work with you guys. You know, it's not eye candy. They're not here to give a rah-rah speech and sign some autographs. To see them putting in the work and to see guys that look like they can and they can still do it, what does that mean and what does that give you guys? You got a smile on your face right now thinking about it.
It's just a dream come true to be able to take ground balls with Ozzy today. I mean, it's just a you know, one-of-a-kind experience, and this organization really does value its history, and we as players, current players, value that as well. And I think it's just important about continuity. You know, we talk about passing the baton from Chris Carpenter to Adam Wainwright, and now Adam Wainwright to Jack Flaherty and Dakota Hudson and so on. And you know, Colton Wong teaching me the ropes coming up as a young big leaguer, even though I got called up to play his position way back in 17, but never a competitive type feel where, you know, we're all trying to bring each other up. So, you know, I think that's what the you know, the Hall of Famers bring to us is, you know, that extra resource that we can bounce ideas off of, or, you know, just the little tweaks here and there. I mean, we're all talented, you know, hardworking players. I mean, there's a reason why we're all here. So, you know, any little bit is truly game-changing from those guys.
Or a guy like Chris Carpenter, Mike Schilt said, you know, that I think Ollie Marmol had the comment, like, when Carp speaks, it always has purpose. To see someone who's achieved everything, you know, the amount of money that he's made, that those guys have made, to still want to be here grinding, sitting in meetings, being out in the field with you guys, it's got to be cool.
Definitely, and I hope to be that type of influence eventually. You know, I think that's something that I've always wanted to give back and share my experience. And right now I'm just trying to gain experience, and eventually I want to give that back. So, and just constantly observing, whether it's Carp or Ozzy or Jim Edmonds or, you know, even Willie McGee, he came back and now he's on our staff. I mean, that guy brings, you know, so much to the table. So, you know, really it's just it comes down to a team effort and everybody's in.
I'm always jealous of the guys that are just like cool without trying to be cool. Willie's just cool, man.
Willie's so humble. I mean, he could be a lot cooler if he wanted to, but he doesn't want that type of clout. I mean, Willie wants to be a fly on the wall
and work,
and he cares about the game, and he's great in one-on-ones, and he's got a great sense of humor, a great perspective on things. So Willie's a truly special guy.
It couldn't have surprised you what Waino did last year, but to see him go from, admittedly, he said almost being ready to hang it up in July of 18 to being one of your best guys and throwing, you know, no hitting the Nationals through seven innings in the NLCS. Yeah. What does he mean, not just off the field, but on the field, and how is he going to help anchor what you guys do this year?
Waino truly cares about this organization and how he plays, and you could see the way he's revolutionized himself, whether he's, you know, he had Tommy John, or he has new recovery tools. He learns more about his own body, doing a DNA test to figure out how to recover better. Like, he's doing everything he needs to do to be able to stay on the field and dominate in his mid-30s. And I think it's just truly special to see what he does and the energy he brings. I mean, he's still ribbing guys for calling them new owners for parking a little too close to the clubhouse. I mean, just little things like that. And Waino truly is a special guy. And yeah, you know, I'm honored to be his teammate.
What's something he doesn't do well?
Something he doesn't do well. I can't even say anything bad about Waino, but I'm not sure how good of a cook he is. I'm not sure if he's the one in the kitchen. I know he owns or is a part owner of a restaurant, but that doesn't necessarily mean he can whip it up back there. So I'd like to challenge him to a cook-off.
He can find barbecue. Oh, he can garden, and he can find barbecue in any spot that you're at on the road, right?
Yeah, exactly, but I'll have to see what his signature dish is.
Who's one guy you're not trusting to make the dinner reservation? Ooh. You're not letting them pick.
Ooh. Probably won't let Kisner pick. We'll end up at a TGI Fridays for a happy hour instead of Morton's or something.
I think Gordon Hayward got killed a couple years ago because he was on the Jazz and they were in New York, and he tweeted out that he was eating at Olive Garden in Times Square.
Oh my gosh. I mean,
unlimited salad and breadsticks, though, man. Those NBA guys, they don't need to watch their money.
I do value Bader and Flaherty. They make a lot of reservations, and it's usually me who doesn't want to make it, but I like to pick the place. So it's almost like a delegation type of situation where, you know, we're on the plane talking about where we want to go eat when we get there, and it's like, who wants to call? And it's like, nose goes or something. You know, like.
I will say, though, I'd come up to your neck of the woods and hit the brat stop in Kenosha, man.
Yeah, Kenosha is real close to where I grew up in Antioch, Illinois.
Little Mars Cheese Castle, maybe?
Yep, the Cheese Castle. Love Wisconsin culture. It's truly a unique place.
Get some spotted cow. as you think about this year and the kind of guys that are in that clubhouse, what are the goals for you personally but collectively for the team? You achieved so much last year, mm-hmm. personally and for the team. How do you start to think about this year? And like you said, take it day by day, but also appreciate what you guys can accomplish big picture.
Yeah, me, I'd like to be a little more consistent. I think that was always a strength, and I kind of got away from that last year. Just now I understand how long the season really felt, and it can be grueling at times mentally if you let it. And, you know, this year I just want to be kind of relentless and resilient as far as, you know, bouncing back day to day or riding the highs or lows, you know, more staying pretty even keel. You know, as a team, I think, you know, we fell flat last year in the NLCS, and I don't think anybody felt good about how that finished. So really it's just about dominating the division like we know we can all year, and then, you know, the playoffs, anything can happen. I saw the way everything shook out, so I think everyone's just super excited of, you know, getting that taste of champagne. We have such a good young core of guys. I mean, to experience that all together in such a early point in our careers, I think that's just a monumental building block for us.
And it must have been nice to kind of help put the nail in the coffin of the Cubs at Wrigley, and to have that four-game series, the biggest four games of the year, happen then for you guys, the way it happened against your rivals. That was an incredible couple of days. Is that the most fun you've had playing regular season baseball?
Absolutely, without a doubt. Going back-to-back with Yachty will be one of my highlights of my career, and hopefully I can top that. That would be incredible, because if I can top that, that would be truly special, because that moment, you know, guys were still celebrating Yachty's homer, they told me, whenever I hit mine. So, you know, just talking about the pure energy of that weekend, something I'll never forget.
Last question. To see the Blues last summer when you guys started on your run, what was it like in the city? Just, it's such a great sports city anyway, but to have both franchises rolling and to have both franchises rolling again this year, how juiced did that get you guys? What was that like?
Oh, just feeling the buzz. You know, also just kind of how our season's almost paralleled. Yeah, they finished it off and we fell a little flat, but, you know, they started off slow and, you know, we had some down parts in our middle. So, you know, the way we kind of overcame, I think, was great. And, you know, it's kind of a parallel to life. And, you know, St. Louis, you know, working class city, I think we give people hope to, you know, keep pushing. And, you know, we're out there every day trying to grind and push and win. And, you know, just having that attitude and kind of unifies the city. And, you know, it's great to have a winning city and a winning tradition, because it just makes everything more fun.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.